Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Do you need him?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad that he is always here. He never fails us or forsakes us. Glad that you are with us this morning. I hope you feel the love of Christ in this place as we start off a new year. If you are visiting with us this morning, we're especially glad that you are here. There's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. We invite you to fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love to know that you were here. And there's a spot on there where you can put your email address and you can check the box if you'd like to be added to our email list. Also want to remind you that we have a Wiley Methodist app that's newly updated and working well. Right, Billy?
Yes.
I don't know. That didn't sound real confident. I don't know. But I think it's working well. So Wiley Methodist app, it's free. We'd love for you to download that and be on our email list. Glad that you're here. At the end of the service, I will be out in the foyer. Would love to meet you. If you are a visitor, I've got a free gift for you. Love to just get to know you a little bit. Also, keep those registration pads moving. Turn with me, if you would, to John 3. John 3. How many? Not to embarrass anybody, it's okay. No, there's grace here. But how many of you are doing the Matthew Challenge? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
Woohoo! Well, that was exciting, wasn't it? No, it's actually really cool. I've been getting lots of feedback from people, email feedback on insights that they're getting. And really things that are helping me to read deeper into the Scripture. So it's not too late. If you're not on our email list and haven't gotten this, I challenge the church to read the book of Matthew through the month of January. We are on day 6. It'd be real easy to catch up, and even if you're running behind or whatever, it's okay. I know some of you are running ahead, and you're telling me about stuff in chapter 15 and 20. And I'm like, no. No, I'm just kidding. Just wherever you are, it's okay. Just shoot me those emails. Let me know what the Lord is speaking to you. But today we are in John chapter 3, beginning in verse 26. And John the Baptist has launched his ministry of proclaiming the kingdom, that the kingdom is here. And one of the things that we saw in Matthew that's already been pointed out, and I've talked about with some folks on the email, is how did John the Baptist, what was the first word that he used as he began to proclaim the kingdom of God?
Repent.
We don't like that word, do we? But that's where it all begins. And then as Jesus is launching his ministry, comes out of the desert, and the very first thing he says is what?
Repent.
Woo. Man. We probably ought to take notice of that, shouldn't we? But we're picking it up. John the Baptist has launched his ministry of proclaiming the kingdom in verse 26, John 3. They came to John and said to him, Rabbi, that man who was with you on the other side of the Jordan, the one you testified about, well, he is baptizing and everyone is going to him. To this, John replied, a man can only receive what is given him from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but am sent ahead of him. The bride, speaking of us, the bride belongs to the bridegroom, speaking of Jesus. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. Now, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. To come and speak to our hearts in power and authority and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as I read this passage, the first thing that jumped out at me was how John the Baptist's disciples almost seemed jealous of Jesus, didn't they? That man, did you pick up on that? That man that you told us about, he's baptizing and people are going to him. I mean, don't you, do you, maybe I'm reading it wrong, but it seems as though John the Baptist is kind of like, John, you're the man. We're your disciples. What's up with this guy? What's up with this guy? People are going to him. There seems to be this jealousy of the disciples of John the Baptist and Jesus. Now, and here's how John the Baptist responded. He must become greater. I must become less. You see, John got it. I can just see kind of his disciples kind of stepping back and going, okay. So God's word seems to be saying we need more of Jesus and less of me, doesn't it? And in our culture, everything in our culture is pointing to more of us, more of me, right? It's like, you know, I have a right to do that. I have a right. No, it's like, no, it's more Jesus. He must become greater and I must become less. There's always more. I don't care how mature we are in Christ. I don't know how many times we've read through the Bible. I don't care how many years we've been a Christian. There's always more to God, isn't there? There's always more to God. Is anybody awake out there? Amen. All right. You know, flip up that. You know the deal about icebergs? Isn't that a cool picture? That's an actual iceberg that somehow they were able to take that picture. But you see what's on top? That's kind of what we know of God. And there's just so much more. And He must become more in our lives. So I want you to, if you would, this is a short little video just to kind of get our hearts and our minds focused on this sermon today. Go ahead and play that lead.
You are like an ocean, I've been playing on the shore. Now I'm diving in because I want to know you more. You are like a mountain, I've been camping at the base. Now I'm heading to the top, I want to see your face. I want more, give me more, more of you. Lord, I open my mind and my heart to receive all you give. I want more, give me more, more of you. And may this holy quest be my passion, the reason I live. I want more, more, more of you. Why you would desire to know me as a
So as I think about this this idea of Jesus becoming greater and us becoming less, there's three different ways that I kind of think about that. I think about that Jesus, that lifting up Jesus, lifting up the name of Jesus, that he must be greater. And I also think about us learning more about Jesus, pressing into him. And then I also think of it from this stand, and this is what I want to focus on today, is us sharing Jesus, that he become greater. And so it leads me to a sermon to today, is the year of more. So I want to challenge you as we, you know, one of the things that I challenged us to get into the Word in January, to get into Matthew. And there's going to be more of that coming. I hope that there's enough people that enjoy that journey that will maybe look to do that some more this in 2019. But one of the things that yesterday, as a matter of fact, in Matthew 5, one of the insights that I had from that reading that we had yesterday, Jesus is he's getting ready to preach what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those. Okay, did anybody read that yesterday? The Sermon on the Mount. And it was interesting to me that in Matthew 5, the very first verse, he says, his disciples, Jesus' disciples, came to him and he began to teach them. So the first thing there is they came to him. Are you picking up? Shake your head if you're hearing what I'm saying. There's this coming to him, and then he teaches us. If his disciples had not come to him, he could teach all day long, and only the ones there would be receiving it unless they had come and placed themselves under his teaching. So there's this coming to him. So how do we, that's where it begins. So how do we show more of Jesus in 2019? Three things. These just kind of came to my heart. There's nothing magical about these. There's other ways that we can do more to share the love of Christ. But I wanted to focus on three. In 2019, I feel like the Lord wants us to laugh more. Now that may not sound very spiritual. But here's the deal. I refer to people as, I mean, how many people do you think are attracted to what I call freeze-dried Christians? I mean, if we walk around with a scowl on our face, you think people are going to see us and go, man, that Jeff, he looks really happy. I think I want some of what he has. Do you think that's, if we walk around, woe is me. And I want to tell you, and I'm going to, this beginning next week, more will be coming on this. I'm going to be talking about the challenges that we face in our culture as we move forward in this world. But, man, if you turn on, I for Cheryl and I, it's almost like we need to throw our TV out in the front yard, because it doesn't matter if you're watching the news or you're watching a sitcom or if you're watching a movie or even sports, the commercials, it doesn't matter. I mean, junk is coming at us. It's coming at us. And it's coming at us hot and heavy. And it just seems, man, I watch commercials. Cheryl and I will get started on a new series. Like, hey, that looks like that might be funny. And we'll watch about an episode and go, no, I don't think so. And it's just coming at us. But we can allow that stuff to just suck the joy right out of us. And if we don't stay grounded in Christ. Philippians, Paul tells us in Philippians, this is one of my favorite passages, I quote it many times, rejoice in the Lord always, I say it again, rejoice. He's saying, man, what I feel like he's saying is, don't let the world suck the joy right out of you. And it's coming, you know. Joy suckers. Don't be a joy sucker. When you walk in the room, this is where all the joy just sucks right to the wall. It just. And I've said it before. Y'all probably get tired of hearing me talk about joy suckers. But if you can't identify any joy suckers, maybe it's you. If you're looking around going, I don't see any joy suckers, perhaps it's us. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again. Laugh more. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That one, we don't know exactly what Jesus' physical appearance was. We know he was Jewish. So he probably looked Jewish. But this is one of my favorite drawings of Jesus, and it's old and it's been copied like 4,000 times. Man, so many times we see these programs, and there's some really good ones out there, that Jesus of Nazareth, and some great movies that depict his life, but he's always he's very stoic. He's always serious. You know what? The children flock to Jesus, and they don't flock to joy suckers. Did you know that? A child can pick up on a joy sucker like that, and they avoid that. I believe Jesus had peace and joy written all over him. Laugh more. Let's laugh more. Jesus, in John 15, right after he tells the disciples, tells us that he loves us, then he says this: I've told you this, I love you, I've told you this, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That's all that matters. You know, our circumstances sometimes are not fun. So things happen in our life and we struggle, and it's not. I'm not suggesting that if we're at the doctor and the doctor gives us a diagnosis, says, hey, by the way, Jeff, it's cancer. I'm not suggesting we go, That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this peace that passes understanding that can be in all circumstances, that we can be joyful because Jesus loves us, because he says we're acceptable, because he says that we're okay. We should laugh more. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Now, in Matthew 5, it says this: you, speaking of us, Jesus says these words, you are the light of the world. I'm skipping down a little bit to 16. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. He's saying, you're the light. There is no other light. You know, Jesus has put his light in us. We're the light. And he's saying, if you don't put a light and put a bucket over it, no, you put it up on a lampstand and you let the world see it. And it brings praise and honor and glory to God. Laugh more in 2019. You know, I know part of this is just I am a goober, and I understand that. But I've said this before, but I always try to do something silly at Vacation Bible School because I want the kids to see that it's fun to be a Christian. It's not just silly. Now, poor Billy, I've drug him, the first year or two, kicking and screaming. Really, I want you to wear that hat, Billy. I really do. You know, I want you to look stupid. But Billy's kind of getting into it now. Every year he's like, what are we going to be this year? You know, he's kind of, I've warped him. But I want the kids to see that, man, being a Christian is fun. You don't have to go and get messed up in all kinds of sin in the world, because that stuff, it may seem fun, but it leads to death. It leads to destruction. But God leads to life, an abundant life. Let's laugh more in 2019. Secondly, in 2019, let's lift more. Now, I'm not talking about getting weight training. Let's lift more. Let's lift one another. Let's be encouragers. Listen to Ephesians, these words out of Ephesians. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Lift more. And do not grieve. Now listen to this. This is getting serious. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. So unwholesome, the way I'm reading that, unwholesome talk that pushes people down grieves the Holy Spirit. That's what I, anybody else reading it that way? Amen. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, I didn't tell my wife I was doing this, but I'm piggybacking. I didn't realize you were doing this today. I'm going to hit this real quick. In her Sunday school class today, they were talking about the tongue. And she didn't know I was preaching this, and I didn't know she was doing that. It's funny how God does these things. And she gave this handout. I'm just going to hit it real quick. But speaking of the tongue, the evaluation of our tongue. Did I engage in any form of lying? Did I flatter someone? Did I manipulate someone or to gain an advantage? Did I speak too hastily? Did my words cause division? Was I argumentative or contentious? Anybody else toes being stepped on yet? Did I boast or speak with pride? Did I engage in self-put down? Did I slander someone? Did I gossip? Did I meddle in anybody's affairs? Did I betray someone's trust? Did I belittle someone? Was I cynical, scornful, or sarcastic? I'm getting tired. That's a lot. Did I speak as a know-it-all? Did I use harsh or abusive language? Did I fail to speak with tact or diplomacy? Did I attempt to intimidate with my words? Was I rude? Was I critical or judgmental? Was I self-absorbed in my conversations? Did I use profanity? Did I complain? Did I retaliate? Did I accuse someone? Was I discouraging? Did I express doubt and unbelief? Did I simply talk too much? Well, I hate that one. Was I indiscreet in my discussions? Did I keep silent when I should have communicated? Challenging words. You know, so as we talk about this idea of lifting others up, just real quickly here, I want to hit five things that came to my mind. First thing is just to value people. Value people. Don't be afraid to say thank you and I'm sorry. Even with your kids and grandkids. You know, that's powerful for your kids or your grandkids or anyone to hear the words, maybe a spouse, to hear the words, I'm sorry, I was wrong. Cheryl, you can don't pay any attention to anything I'm saying at this point. I'll explain it to you later, Cheryl. Share credit. Share credit. I want to tell you, and I'm just going to publicly say it right now, without our staff and without many servants in this church, I would be a failure as a pastor. I'm just saying. We have a great staff. We have great servants. Don't be afraid to share credit. I don't know why. It's really odd to me how that seems to be just kind of. I guess it's just sin. It seems to kind of be in us. It's like we have trouble saying someone else did that. It was good, and I didn't do it. Share credit. Acknowledge others. Listen attentively. Now I think most of us, including myself, can probably be convicted by this. Listen attentively. Lay the cell phone down. Uh-oh. Lay the cell phone down and listen. Engage with people. Humble yourself. It's okay to not know everything. Sometimes people will ask me a question about Scripture and catch me off guard with a question, and I'm like, I don't know. Let me do some study on that, and I'll get back with you. It's okay. Humble yourself. It's okay. Forgive those who have hurt you. In 2019, church, let's lift others up. Let's lift them up. The same way Christ did us. And finally, in 2019, let's love more. Let's love more. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you." Well, how did he love us? He humbled himself. He took a beating. He was falsely accused. Anybody ever falsely accused you? He's like, no, I didn't do that. And they're saying I did that. Jesus took that for us. He took nails for us. He died for us. And then when he rose again, he didn't hold it against us. I love that. I've said this before. I usually say this around Easter time. But when Jesus rose from the dead, I can just imagine the disciples And especially Peter, you know, having looked him in the eye and denied that he knew him just like he said he would three times. I can just imagine Peter going, uh-oh, he's alive, and I denied him. And the way Jesus received him was, peace be with you. And that's the way, when we fail him, when we deny him, when we do all sorts of evil, he says, peace be with you. That's why I hung on a cross, for you. Love as I have loved you, he says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples. It makes our faith authentic when we love. Now here's the problem. Our culture doesn't know what love is. To our culture, and what's being slammed down our throat is that we have to embrace everything. If you embrace no matter what, you know, if I want to say I'm a chicken, you either embrace that or you're a hater. I'm not trying to get crazy here, but I'm just telling you, you know, there's movements out there that where, you know, what's a, I don't know, when my girls were born, I was in the room. Most people in my age bracket, we got to be in the room. And when that baby came out, the first words I heard was, it's a girl. And I didn't have to ask, well, how do you know it's a girl? Now there's craziness in our culture that says the doctors and nurses in the hospital, they can't define a gender until later, until someone tells them what it is. And I'm going, what? And if we stand against that, we're accused of being a hater and not loving. I'm like, no, that's not love. Love is yes. To stand for truth, but to love like Jesus loves. I mean, nowhere in Scripture do you find Jesus where he was approving of sin. It's not there. Now, he loved sinners all day long. He loved prostitutes. He loved tax collectors. He loved all sorts of sinners. The Pharisees. But never did he embrace the sin. So we have to understand what love is. But once we understand what love is, we need to do more of it. We need to do more of it. One of my favorite passages, I'm going to close with this scripture. Philippians 2, one of my favorite passages. Listen to these words of Paul, and I believe these are directly at us. And this just captures so much of who we should be and who our model should be. If you have any encouragement from being united to Christ. So if we are encouraged by being united with Christ, he's talking to us. If any comfort from his love, if we've been comforted from his love, he's talking to us. If any fellowship with his Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, speaking of Jesus' love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's love. This selfless, sacrificial, humbling love. That's love. In short, Jesus put you and me before himself. Now, he must become greater, and we must become less as we enter into this new year. And I'm reminded as we talk about this servant who humbled himself and became obedient to death. I'm reminded of that picture we have of what we've come to know as the Last Supper. When Jesus, he's sitting around the room with his disciples, and he knows that this one will betray me, this one will deny me, and the rest of them will scatter. All but John will scatter. And so he's sitting around these men who've seen him raise the dead, walk on water, heal the lame, heal the lepers, heal the blind, do all sorts of miracles, and yet they will deny him and desert him. And he says to them, "This is my body broken for you." And he took the cup and he changed the script this time. And he said, "This is no longer the blood of this lamb who's been sacrificed. This is the blood of the new covenant. My blood poured out for you and for many. As long as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, remember me." So if you just pray with me, this begins. You remember how I said earlier, John the Baptist proclaimed Christ's kingdom by saying, "Repent." Jesus launched his ministry by saying, "Repent." That's where this meal begins. We don't come to this meal as a perfect people. We come as a repentant and a redeemed people. So if you would just bow your head and say your own personal prayer of confession before God. Father, we pray blessings on this bread and on this cup. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ. May we be a redeemed people. In the name of Jesus, you are forgiven. Amen.